and 96.9 FM, live and local. This is the Morning Primetime Newsmaker.
And today's Newsmaker is brought to you by the Opie Chicken House. Call the Chicken House for all of your catering needs, 620-475-3386.
The Opie Chicken House has been providing the area with their signature quality food for generations. Please make note of their new restaurant hours. Open for dine-in service and carry-out Wednesdays through Saturdays from 11 a.m. till 8 p.m. and closed Sundays, Mondays, and Tuesdays. Come visit the Chicken House for fried chicken, steak, seafood, burgers, and homemade pie. The Chicken House wishes to thank you for your support, and they look forward to seeing you just 10 minutes south of Emporia in beautiful Opie, Kansas.
And today on our Primetime Newsmaker, we're happy to be joined by Humane Society of the Flint Hills Director, Stephanie Achille. Stephanie, good morning.
Good morning. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday.
Absolutely. Always happy on a Friday. Well, Stephanie, yeah. Speaking of happy, I know you have been pretty happy because there's been a lot of exposure for the Humane Society and the Emporia Animal Shelter as of late. You guys had that big concert a few weeks ago with the Emporia Symphony Orchestra. You got to bring some of the pets out there to greet individuals as they came into the concert. Of course, you just had the recent auction we'll talk about here in a little bit. But first and foremost, can we just kind of get your thoughts on all the exposure that the Humane Society has had in the last few months and how important that's been to your mission?
Yes, Tegan, it's been wonderful. You know, unless people really are intentional and like, I want to welcome a pet into our home, the shelter that we have is kind of a destination shelter. You're not really going to go over on that side of town for too many things, or you're right beside the shelter and it kind of reminds you that we're there. So the idea that we're getting invited to some of these events more in the heart of town and to partner with some different organizations really is wonderful.
And it's not just the fact that there's the number of activities that are drawing attention to kind of, you know, what you're doing and to a certain degree the plight that you're having in getting animals connected with homes. It's really a range of different audiences that you're hitting with these opportunities.
Yes. Yes, anything from, you know, that was a really fun week, actually. We were at ESU a few times, you know, sometimes with the students, sometimes with our older generations, and a whole bunch of a mix of ages and different types of folks, you know, between the concert and walking down on Commercial as well. So we're trying to reach everybody. You know, we've got a different type of dog or possibly cat for all different types of homes, too. So it worked out pretty well.
Agreed. Let's talk a little about the auction for the animals, which was held last week. How did that go for you?
Yes, it was our first time actually organizing something like that for us. We had over 30 bundles, and then it happened through that week of the 11th. Which is spring break week as well. And then we reached almost $2,000. So it was wonderful.
Stephanie, can you talk a little bit about how important those dollars are to really kind of helping serve the needs of the pets there at the Emporia Animal Shelter and what else you can use it for in the future?
Definitely. So we've done a few real talks on our Facebook posts where we really put out those numbers. And while we are extremely grateful for our financial support from the city and that contract, you know, $132,000, I mean, it sounds like a lot of money, and in a lot of ways it can be. But when you're running an older building with the intakes that come in every day, staffing, different food costs, supply costs, you know, that's a lot of $25 adoptions to get us through the year. So, you know, just some interesting facts for some people to know. Really, we rely on our community. You know, the shelter is a direct reflection of our community. We're in constant need for more homes for all of these pets. So very happy, too, to partner with the other organizations in town to help with vet costs, spay and neuter, different vaccinations. We really rely on one another. Don't want to be the broken record, but at the same time, we're always a level of full, and we always are needing funding. So our donors and helpers really are vital.
Okay, that brings up the question. You mentioned different levels of full. What level of full are you at right now for both dogs and cats at this point?
Sure. So if we were to have every single kennel as a full kennel with the veterinarian guidelines, as far as our shelter is concerned, full, okay, we would be able to house a little over, about mid-30s of animals. That's full house of cats and dogs with no opening for overnight intakes, whether that be strays, medical, or even a court hold. Right now, we're almost 50. I want to say we're about 48, 49. We do have several bonded pairs in the shelter, so they, of course, you know, move with one another and do much better being housed with one another. So we've been able to house them together. And then we do have some smaller ones, whether that be kittens or puppies that are housed together as well. So, you know, and it's right before the advertised puppy and kitten season. Really, that is all year long. But particularly, you know, just like us, when we want to roam more and get outside more and be more sociable in the spring and summer sometimes, after being winterized, being in our hermit holes, you know, the animals somewhat are that way too. So we're getting worried again. So currently, for the month, or the rest of the month, I should say, of March, all of our adult animals are $25 with a new approved app.
That, and what do people need to do in order to adopt those pets? And, you know, as unfortunate as this is going to sound, help maybe get you guys a little bit of space before the next round or rounds of animals start coming back in.
True, right? We've got a one-page app. Ask some, you know, pretty easy questions like, do you rent? Do you own? Do you have other animals in the household? Sometimes we go a bit farther just in speaking with folks and say, you know, is there kids that come in and out? Is it more of a calm household, or is it kind of chaotic with lots of in and out or excitement? You know, do you have a fenced-in yard or access to something like that? Or are you more active and want to go on walks? You know, we've got some dogs that were not raised with cats. So if you have cats at home, we go through that process to see if possibly it would be a match or not. We always do meet and greets with dogs that will be in that respective home because we want everybody to be set up for success. We also know, too, that we're moving into actual moving season. And sadly, a lot of people do not plan for their pets. So hopefully we don't run into a bunch of abandoned animals again. Really, you know, we try and buffer a lot of stuff by offering different vaccination clinics, having animals be spayed and neutered. We have our food pantry. We really try and help the animals and our community as much as possible because we know life can hit hard and sometimes very unexpectedly. If for some reason you have a really big heart and are able to open your doors to your home to a special needs animal, often we do. We have several meet and greets or even possibly a home visit just to see what their care plan would be like. I really don't want the adopters or the animals to be set up to have to be returned or maybe rehomed to a not great space for them.
Go ahead, Tegan.
Well, and Stephanie, I was also going to mention, you know, there's another thing that I hadn't thought about when we went and got our dogs, and that is that you do have some bonded pairs that come in there as well, which means it's kind of a,
yes,
you got to take both of them in order to have one of them. But that's kind of great, you know, but what kind of situations do those usually come from, and what should people be prepared for if they do maybe start to bond with a bonded pair and we're maybe just planning to adopt one dog?
Oh, you know, I say more love for sure, but at the same time, we realize that can be more costs as well. You know, we think about, oh, well, maybe they need a friend. You start off with a solo one, but then again, you don't know what's going to happen with life, and then you've got two that may need rehomed or find their way back to the shelter. And we've got three sets of dogs. And we do have one set of kitties that are like that. And it does. It takes a special home and a special type of family or person to be able to take in that bonded pair. We've got two that are extremely bonded and really do not move without each other. So while it's so cute to see them curled up or play together or you know, when you've got 80-pound dogs that are like that, you need a special home that can be okay with that. So there are pros and challenges. We try not to bond them at the shelter, because then it can, you know, take down our percentage of possible homes that would walk through our door. But, Tegan, as you can speak for, when you have a bonded pair, or for some reason you were to bond them at your own home by finding them from different walks of life, mm-hmm. It truly is. It's so rewarding.
Well, in our case, in some cases, they come into the shelter already bonded.
Yes. We try not to separate them ever. If we know, for instance, if we have a senior surrender, if somehow their owner sadly either passed or maybe went into the nursing home, or sometimes when we're able to work off of our wait list, there are bonded animals that come in already together.
One more question here, Stephanie, and given your space issues and kind of going back to that topic, how close are you to maybe some formal conversations with the city commission about maybe expanding the space that you have or starting the process maybe to find a new, larger home for the shelter?
Exactly. So I feel like we've talked about that for quite a while, but it's been coming up more and more consistently because they're truly is a need. Our building is becoming more and more dated. In order to humanely house them to where they feel safe and are not getting sick from stress and the whole program, a true expansion or maybe even double location is needed. We've talked to the city a little bit. We actually are currently in negotiations right now. I know that is something that we want to discuss moving down the line within the next contract period.
Okay. Sounds good. Well, I tell you what, Stephanie, really appreciate your time. Please keep us posted here on basically whatever you've got going on, space included, the need for more adoptive partners, and really anything else that you've got going on with the shelter. We'd be happy to get the word out.
Definitely. Keep an eye on our Facebook. I know that April 27th is a big event day for us between the Pet Sense Adopt-a-thon, and then there is a Doggy Dash at ESU. So we're trying to be a little bit everywhere that day besides the shelter.
Well, and Stephanie, before you go, I have to pass on real quick some lovin's from a former tenant at the Emporia Animal Shelter. I mentioned to my wife that I was going to be interviewing you here today. I said Emporia Animal Shelter and Drew, our little Dachshund, just got his little booty wagon, was so excited when he heard that. So I think that just speaks to the work of your staff out there and really what you do for all these pets. So just wanted to pass on the lovin's from Drew to you and all the folks there at the Emporia Animal Shelter.
Thank you. We love to hear those updates. Appreciate it, Tegan.
Absolutely. That is Stephanie Achille, the director of the Emporia, or the Humane Society of the Flint Hills, of course, by extension, the Emporia Animal Shelter, joining us here on our primetime newsmaker. Always good when we get to hear about the furry little friends, Chuck.
Indeed. Want to let you know that Monday's newsmaker is taken. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday still open. And Monday's guest here on the newsmaker spot at 7:20 will be Emporia State Director of Bands Gary Zeke. Free concert by the Kansas City Symphony Orchestra's Brass Quintet, which is coming up Wednesday at Heath Recital Hall. If you want one of those three spots the middle of next week that are open right now, call KVUE 620-342-1400 or email us kvue@kvue.com. Can also tell you that several dates are right now being claimed over the next several weeks, so if you have any veteran activity that you want highlighted, act quickly, get on our schedule, and help get some results for your event or activity coming up.
Just a quick reminder that the Primetime Newsmaker today is brought to you by the Opie Chicken House. Featuring great chicken, steaks, seafood, and catering, a family tradition since 1958, the Opie Chicken House. KVOE, it's now 7:41, and it is time for a check of the weather forecast with TV13 meteorologist Doug Myers, being brought to you by Hegg Pharmacy, where the nature of their business is taking care of people with their family approach and free local delivery. Hegg Pharmacy, 1400 West 12th Avenue, and Bluestem Insurance Group. For all your home, auto, farm, and commercial insurance needs, call Joe at 620-342-4714 to discuss how they can help ensure what's most important to you.
Watch out for fog this morning and a cold front by midday. I'm meteorologist Doug Myers.